All right. So you guys already kind of got pretty far on the level draw, the level making, right? Because I've all seen you guys have levels. So basically, the structure of the program is like you have some int that's like, you know, level, basically. And initially, it's going to be zero because you're going to be updating it. Remember the way that most of us have been doing it? Is like basically indexing these guys by level. So you have level zero, and you know, if your pants are falling off, you put it up. If your shirt is coming down, you put it up. Okay, this is terrible. Okay, so anyways, 5, 6, something like that, right? So these are kind of the levels that you're working with when you get to each part of them, and they'll keep going, right? So probably most likely you guys will probably end up with like, what would be that? Like 6 or 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, something like 14 or something like that. But then some of you might have like, oh, you know, 15 just off of the, you know, just click a button to go to the next guy, that kind of thing. Same thing here, click a button to go to the next guy. So, you know, probably for Aliza, is she here?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay. So for Aliza, it'll be probably something likely to be like this, right? Right? Or some combination, you know, similar to this. You know, these could just add to it. I don't know how you're going to do it. But, you know, it'll look something like that. It doesn't necessarily have to go 2 branch. If you go 3 branch, you just do, you know, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. You know, it's fine. It doesn't just... Nothing in here is stopping you from doing that. But however you're doing the numbering, they just have to make sense. Because in your draw function, so void draw, you're going to have basically something like this. You're going to have like if level double equals to zero, then draw this guy, right? And then else if level equal, double equal 1, right? Draw this guy, right? So it'll just keep going down, right? Right? So I think what I'm telling you right now is that in here, you probably want a function that's something like, you know, draw level or something like that, however you want to call it. And then you just pass in the number, you know. Right, and the draw level takes care of everything that's common in all the levels. So, like, if you want to put your logo somewhere on every level, or if you have images that you can just draw in the draw level, because it's already in an array, right? So you have an image array, which is like a P image, you know, array that's like some size of the same size as this, so it'd be like 18 or something. Then this guy doesn't really need to, you know, all it needs is a number, and it can just draw the image. You don't have to be like drawing image every single time. So this function will do everything that's in common for all of them. Drawing the image, drawing the buttons if you have them, like if the buttons are always in the same place, drawing the buttons. Drawing the text, the same thing, this is what we just said, you just put all the text in one array, and then all you have to do is just display that text, right? Because it will change when you give it a different number. So that's like kind of the power of the programming for having it be automated. Is then all you need is this number right here, and all you need is the P image array, right? And then probably the string array for the text, you know. You know, you can also have an array of colors if you want. That's also a really cool thing to do, right? If you have an array of colors, then say you're doing like color changes and there's a game that kind of does different color, then you can just keep that color, you know, in this kind of array too, and just set it in the very beginning and forget about it, because this function will do everything. So you want to try to do everything in the beginning, basically. You want to set up all your data. It's ready. In the draw function, it should be super simple. This is not the hard part. The hard part is in the mouse press or the key press or whatever, right? Because in the key press, for example, you're going to have to say, if it's zero and you set yes, then you do something. You're going to set level equal to one and then, you know, et cetera, right? So all the work, I guess what I'm saying is, should be happening in the input function, the key press or mouse press function. Everybody, okay, like did everybody already kind of did that, more or less? That's good, because I think that's the most important thing, and if your story kind of just makes sense, like this is already going to be good. You know, you don't have to worry about that too much. Okay, I'm going to go through some of this real fast, and it doesn't take long. And I think today is kind of like give you a chance to ask some questions and like, you know, something with our text adventure. And we'll try to like live code some questions, like basically, instead of just asking individually. Because I think most of the time if you ask something that's relevant, probably somebody is doing something like that in the class. So first, I'm just going to go through a little bit about objects again that we started with last time. So last time we talked about objects. So this time basically is a continuation of that, but I'm going to give you a more fundamental view from kind of the, you know, theoretical programming aspect. So as you remember, objects are basically instances of classes, and classes are like templates for how you make objects. And somebody caught me and said that this is the Dod, not a dog. Dod 2 object.
Dod
2. Yeah. Dod. Yeah, at least it's not God. I didn't do God, but. So the question is, like, why the heck are we doing all this? I think I gave you guys some reason saying, like, well, you can reuse your code very easily, right? So there's a bunch of different answers. Right now, you might not be seeing the full effectiveness so far because you're just bouncing some balls around. But imagine now you have classes for, like, everything. Like, say you're making a particle system. Everybody know what a particle system is? So it's kind of just always streaming out particles, basically, in the game, basically. So, for example, when you're doing something like that, there's going to be the individual particle. There's the thing that's injecting the particle. You can set the width and the shape of that. The shape of that is adjusted by some other class. You know, there's a whole huge number of classes when you need to draw anything, you know, cool. So for that, you gotta have very modular code. So you really do need code reuse. It's not just balls and scripts. The other thing is because it's very complicated, oftentimes you want to hide the information that's not needed. So you encapsulate things into a very format which is whatever is public can be accessed, and whatever is private is hidden for you, so that you don't have to understand every low-level detail. Yeah. And the other thing is, when you need to change things, it makes it really easy, because remember what we did, right? We just added functions like gravity, right? Like, that ball didn't have to have gravity ability, but when to make it extensible, to give additional function to the ball, we just write a function. Like, you don't have to go into the draw and figure out, you know, like, where do I add the gravity code, right? All you have to do is put it in the ball code, all right, because it's already in there. So I hope you guys kind of see the effectiveness of object-oriented programming. But there are some problems, right? So, for instance, I used MATLAB for, like, the good 5-6 years of my life, right? Why? Because some problems are just based on procedure. Like, you just want to be able to, like, run code that, you know, frequently repeats doing some scientific applications. So there, it may not be, you might not always need the power of the object-oriented programming. And also, it could be hard to develop in the sense that someone who's new to coding is not, you know, like, we're looking at this in our, like, 9th class. So clearly, it's not the first thing that they'll learn. So you're going to have to hire people to do, like, to actually kind of know this stuff, to develop this kind of code. So there's three big principles of object-oriented programming. I'll just go over really fast because I don't think we need a lot of theory. But one is called inheritance. You kind of already went over that yesterday with the class situation. So what you have is here is that you have animals as a class, and you have humans and pets. These are now subclasses. Okay? So subclasses means that each one of these are still animals. So in other words, human, this class, has the brain field variable. So that's kind of key. So you didn't write brain in the human code. You wrote brain in the animal code, but because it inherits animal, because human is an animal, it inherits these properties. So that's why, you know, it inherits the variable legs, but it actually sets the legs to be two. You see kind of the intricacies here? So it inherits the properties of its parent, but it doesn't necessarily have to the same value all the time. So that's called inheritance. When it's so same thing with a pet, right? Pet is an animal, so it has legs. Okay? But it also has its own variable, that's fleas or not. Okay? And then dogs and cats are subclass of pets. So they're both cats, so they both, you know, it's not written here, but they also have the legs as well. They have a legs property, and they have fleas, and a some number of fleas, I guess. And then, but they can also have their own as well, like stuff that dogs have that cats don't have, like, cuteness. Sorry. yeah, things like that. Yeah.
So the things that the dogs have
That belongs to the dog class. Yeah. But then when you make an instance of it, that instance has all this stuff.
Yeah.
But it's not set to be always the same. Like, it will be instantiated in the constructor how you want it. So when you build a dog, you're giving it. So actually, leg is not written here because in the constructor, this is a tricky issue, but the constructor for dog kind of uses four because it knows it's a dog.
Okay.
But these guys don't actually know that. So it's kind of like the dog is preempting the user because it knows it's a dog.
Oh, okay.
In the dog code.
So sometimes it's not only the main thing that decides kind of what.
This is like a framework, and then you're kind of extending the framework down. All the way to when it's instantiated. When it's instantiated, it has to fill out all those properties, but who fills it out doesn't necessarily know. Like, the user might just specify skin color and, noise level, right? But maybe it fills out the fleas and the legs and stuff for you, because the nose is a dog. Are we okay on this kind of stuff? I know it's hard to see this without code. We have code to do this, but I don't want to confuse you guys too much. So I think what I'm going to say is, if you want, I can give you guys the code to look at later for inheritance code. But you're also going to be doing plenty of this in Open Frameworks, Unity, you know. That's where the subclass inheritance stuff actually kind of really works well. Okay, the second principle is called encapsulation. So encapsulation is what I talked about a little bit, is that you want your own private stuff to be hidden from other people. So like people, right? It's like people. They have their own private family, whatever issues, you know, girlfriend, boyfriend, whatever, that they don't necessarily want to share with the rest of their employers, you know. So this is the same situation. So there's kind of like a two-sided thing. There are some private things that it's doing on its own in order to calculate things and stuff like that we don't need to know about. And then there's the public stuff, which is how you access this person or this object. So that's what it means for encapsulation. And then polymorphism is a little bit more tricky, okay? So polymorphism refers to the idea that when something is let me show an example. So shape is like the parent class, okay? And then like a circle, a star, and a square are meant like kind of subclasses of the shape, right? Because they're kind of a type of shape. And then when you instantiate them, they're going to kind of do their own thing. So polymorphism refers to the fact that because some of this information is kind of hidden in the shape, like the shape has some fields that these guys are kind of inheriting. Because of that, these guys can sometimes take over each other's function, basically. Like basically you can, because this is a shape, you can go back and refer to the shape property that it has in order to do something to it. So I guess the short answer, the intuitive way to think about it is kind of more like this. Like, these are all animals, right? So we think of them as animals. But polymorphism suggests that even though they're like a dog and they're a duck, even though they're some specific animal, you can still think of them at the end as animals. So therefore they have properties, like being able to talk like an animal. And so they share this polymorphic property with each other. They're kind of, you know, they're all members of the same group. That's polymorphism. Is that confusing? Yeah, it's very hard to see this without code, but we're not going to be able to show this in code very easily. In Java, you can. So
are
you
going to learn about it in the open?
You will definitely learn about it if you work at a company where they're using Java, you know, C++, whatever. You definitely learn about it. Because, I mean, the simplest thing I can think of right now is like you have an iterator, right? Do you guys know what iterators are? I worked in internship and this stuff, so I know. If you don't know, just ignore what I'm going to say for the next 30 seconds. So iterators are kind of like, you have a list that you want to iterate through, right? So an array, right? So you actually, in the developer's mindset, what you want, you actually want to build a class iterator that iterates through them. It's not just like for loop through them. It's a different model. Yeah, you have it because that thing kind of captures your idea of the iterating, and then you can go through your objects. Because you're not going through ints most of the time, you're going through objects. And so, and actually, in processing, there's this thing called ArrayList, if you guys are interested in looking into that. That's basically what iterators are, actually. I mean, it's not built the same way, but ArrayList is kind of, you know, doing some similar things as iterators. But in the earlier iterator, though, like, if you want to iterate through, you know, an integer versus a float, right? That's where it's kind of being polymorphic. It's like saying, I don't need to be the same thing all the time. I can still be an iterator while being an iterator of ints, and being an iterator of floats. So you're kind of going back up the chain and using the fact that, I think of it as like, okay, we probably shouldn't be drawing on this too much. I kind of think of it as like, we're all human after all, so therefore we can all do some cool things at the end. Despite being who we are as people. Yeah. Alright, so that's polymorphism, being able to take different worlds. That's all it is. So let me just finish up the bouncing ball thing, okay? So we ended up last time having a few balls around, right? So this time, I'm going to give you a little bit of time to try this. I think we're just going to do individual right now. You know, we don't have a lot of time today. And what I want you to do is I want you to make an array of size 20 of bouncing balls, or balls. I think you guys just put balls. And then if you get there, you can put these balls in a kind of systematic place in the sketch. And I just want to see 20 different balls in the sketch. So do you guys have your code from last time? So why don't you try that for about a few minutes, and then we can go through it together.
So I'll bring up the curve from last time.
So I'll give you a hint. Mostly the ball classes have to change, right? For the most part. Because the ball class doesn't really have to change. Yeah, because we're just making an array of balls.
Okay.
I mean, unless your balls change, but... I assume that you guys had the code from last time, but okay.
Oh, but I mean, this is a new file, right?
Yeah, but you just start with last time's file. Yeah, I'm giving you last time's file, last week, yesterday's file. You got it, JC?
Yeah.
Cool. All right. I'm gonna check my Facebook while you guys are. Oh, by the way, I have a exhibition next Friday after you guys have quit. It's this one right here, and it's do you know Leo, one of the web teachers? So me and her and some other people were doing a exhibition. This is in just across the river from here in Brooklyn, in Greenpoint. If you guys want to come, I would love it. There's going to be a lot of artists and designers there.
Is that the real address?
Yeah.
That's really the address?
Huh?
That's really the address?
Yeah, this is the address, yeah. Java Street, yeah. Yeah, here. It's right here. I'll show you. So, just to show you guys, it's right here. So you basically just take the L train over, and if you guys want to, if you have to quit,
yeah.
You know, there's alcohol, so, you know, if you guys... So just, maybe just, just so that I can, like, put you into this event, maybe just Facebook me. Just look for R-A-Y-L-C. That's me. And I think some of you already... Well, whoever, like, here, let me put... It might be public, too. Let me see. I'm not sure. I'll put it here, too, just in case you can't find me. So, anyways. Oh, that's... I can see it coming. This is going to be great. Yay. Yeah, more, please. More, please. I'm just... Oh, boom! Nice. Oh, anyways. This is not really class. But, yeah, but, you know, it'll be fun because there's a lot of Parsons people and also Parsons alumni and current Parsons people. So you get to meet them. It's kind of a good way to chill if you guys had a hard quit, you know, thing. So this is next Friday, not this Friday. This is after your final everything. Yeah. So.
Oh, sorry.
Yeah. And you also see what, like, kind of real studio looks like and stuff like that. And you see our artwork, which is based on this kind of, well, it's not really shown here. You have to go to the photos album. So it's kind of an interactive experience where you actually get an actual TV there, and you can actually kind of turn the knob on the TV, and then, like, things will happen. Anyways, be fun. Cool. All right. Okay, are you guys ready to go over this?
Yeah?
You guys tried it already, right? So... whoa. You can tell me what to do. What do I need to do here? I'm writing it slowly. Actually, I think I'm going to do it a different way. So, just reminding myself. So the ball is going to accept x, y, and radians, right? So the first thing that we want to figure out is an array of what size, right? So don't confuse the array of balls with the object class of the ball. So 20, yeah. So that's how you declare the array of balls.
But you were saying you want 20 balls. So
20, yeah.
21 in the index. I mean, like, the number of... Not 20 balls, or...
It's still 20, because it starts at 0, and so, it's, yeah, here, let's count it. 0, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19.
19.
So it goes up to 19.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
But that's 20.
Always count your money before meeting Chinese pawn shops. So 0, yeah, it starts at, because it starts at 0. Yeah. So people are okay with that first declaration, right? It's just declaring the array first, right? But I think the tricky part here now is that there's the array which is being declared, but it hasn't made the balls. Like, the balls are not... Like, it's just telling you that there's a... In the computer, it's just marking out a space for you to put your balls. But there's no actual balls in them. So in the setup, you're going to want to say what? For int k equals 0, k less than what?
Your
balls dot length. That's the very pro thing to do. And then what do I want to do here? So I want to do balls of k, right? Because balls of k is a capital ball. I hope I didn't confuse you with the names of these things. Like, balls is the collection of balls, and ball is like the actual ball. You know, I like to like write really short names for my things, you know. Like temp, that's my temp, you know. Like don't, I'm not doing this, you know. Okay. Yes. Is there a question? No, okay. So, what do I need to do to the balls? Yeah, yeah. And this is where I do this, right? And then, so how do we want to do? Like, we could do, we do like random, you know, zero to width, something like that. Random. For now, you could do it how many different ways, because you want X and Y's, right? I'm just putting them everywhere right now. Well, actually, maybe instead of doing that, I want to put them like kind of. No, the position. Yeah. But actually, what I'm going to do is I want them to be pretty high. Do you know what I mean?
So
do
random,
not
zero width, random.
Okay. No, X is fine because it's all over. But I want it to be kind of starting somewhere. So I'm going to say just high over two. Yeah. And then the last thing was the size. I think right now I'll just keep it at 20, and then we can, you know, do whatever we need to do. Okay. So this is going to initialize the balls, right? I mean, sorry. This is going to make the balls. So now I have an appropriate array of balls. What else do I need to do? Yeah. Right. So what do I need to do in the draw function?
I'm assuming just like we did ball 01 dot run, we do ball the name of the ball, so the name of the array dot run.
Right. So you need a for loop, that's the number one thing. Right?
Okay.
Well, because you have to, you know, you have to do all your Yeah. So balls of k dot run. Yeah. And then here's the cool thing, right? You know all that stuff we did with bouncing and gravity and all that stuff? We don't have to think about that at all now. Because you already did that work. That's the power of object-oriented programming. It's already done for you. Okay, let's see if it works. Oh, wait. I did the height wrong. You guys notice that? So, processing goes from zero. So, what's the right thing to do here?
So, zero to height.
Yeah. There you go. But you notice how easy that was? I mean, that was like three lines of code, right? You know, like, if you know what you're doing, you can just write like three lines of code. That's the kind of the cool thing. If you don't know how to do what you're doing, you can write like 50 lines of code and it might not work. So you know, definitely try to like kind of isolate things into functions, into classes. I know in the text adventure you guys don't really have like a huge opportunity to do that. You know, that's kind of a harder thing to do. But it's worth paying attention to. You guys got it? Everybody got this? Cool. So this is the earliest we've ever been. I'm just gonna go over one quick little thing before we go into like questions. So this is what I just did. We already did this. So I will put this. So guys, I'm not gonna go over this code, okay? But so guys, I talked about inheritance, like parents and children classes, but we're not going to go over this code, but I just want to show you what I mean. And then if you're interested, you can look into the code, or in the future you want to look into the code. So for the inheritance demo, we have the following, okay? And just to show you that it really does work. So we have this thing, which is a very simple thing to do, okay? It's very simple, yeah. Yeah, I'll play again. So what you want to capture here is you want to capture the fact that they're all sinning. So that's going to be your global class.
They're all sinning.
No, I mean, both of these things are sinning. They're just spinning in different directions, they have different shapes, right? But the fact that they're spinning, you can capture that as like spin class. And then you're going to specify each one as inherited members of the spin class. Right? So here, I will just show you without kind of, you know, you don't have to kind of understand all of this right now, okay? And I'm just going to put the code up there so you can marvel at it if you need to in the future. But basically, you have a call that just makes these things, right? So the spin is going to be the global class, right? So this just captures a bunch of, you know, like how, where I am, how fast I'm spinning, that kind of stuff, right? You guys are seeing that? And then the spin arm is that stick. And it is a particular type of thing that spins. So basically you say you extend spin. That means you're a subclass of spin. You guys don't have to copy this. Exactly. Yeah. So you don't have to copy this. But the difference is what it does is it calls it using the super. It just, that's the constructor for the your parent. You don't have to know about that. But what it does is it has its own display function. So it does its own display based on the properties of the speed and the, you know, how fast it's going and where it is, right? And same thing, you do the spots. The spots are the two balls, the two big balls. You know, I guess we got to think of balls.
Two big balls.
Yeah. Yeah. So you call it spots. It's not offensive. So similarly, they're calling your super to initialize, but you notice they have their own fields. So that's where it's like, am I not only a spin, but I also have my own properties? In this case, it's a radius, basically. And then when it displays, it only uses its own variables to do the display. And so when you're making these, you're no longer making spins. You're not making the superclass. You're making actual spots and arms. And when you initialize them, it's understood that they're already members of spin. So it allows you to have this additional level of abstraction. So I'll put this in there for those of you who are interested. But I think for the purpose of this class, it's not necessarily important for you to know the nuances of this. I guess the only other thing to say in this regard is that the reason we're teaching you these kinds of things with the inheritance is because in the real project, it'll look something like this, right? So, have you guys seen the Space of Light, by the way? I can show that to you guys. This is... I'm just introducing Open Frameworks and Unity. Those are the two things. By the way, if you haven't chosen classes or anything, it kind of doesn't hurt to be in Unity and Open Frameworks. Because it's just, these are not things you're going to regret taking. Like, there are classes that you regret taking, but Open Frameworks and Unity, unless it's taught badly, that's possible. But for the most part, it's going to be okay. You know, unless you can't really go wrong. So let me just show you these guys. What is it called? Fade to Light. Random International is a really cool group. So this is a physical computing project, Open Frameworks. Check this out. They made these individual addressable lights, basically.
Okay.
Yeah, so they put a policy in there. The cool thing is now the light. The cool thing is the interactivity. So you're going to see that. So it's using computer vision and it's using a little bit AI too, but the most important thing is using computer vision to track where you are and then to kind of, and it's constructed in a way that you have a bit of a reflective property when it's off too, so that's, it's a very performance-based kind of thing. So this is Open Frameworks.
So the code doesn't probably the language on the bottom.
Yeah, it's individually addressing these lights, yeah. And so Open Frameworks has libraries kind of like processing, but just faster, basically, to,
Are those like sensor based?
Yeah, it's mostly computer vision. There's a camera that's looking. But I'm not, there's different projects that do different things, but there's probably also like distance sensors,
With their hand up close to it.
Exactly. There's closeness, But of course, you also have to know. You have to be really good at picking shit. So, I did a lot of this stuff as well. You have to be able, for example, the last part where they're pushing down, you want to write a routine that just does that. Do you know what I mean? You don't want to write your routine that does the entire performance. You have different routines that are doing different visual effects, visual impressions based on where you are in performance. So that's why I say my faking it. It still works, but you want to adapt it to the situation. Oh, shit. Okay. All right. So we have a little bit of time today to do some kind of question and answer for the project. I know that. Wait. Sorry, guys. We have one more thing we need to do before that. So, what we need to do before that is you guys have to get your. I think you're going to use a computer. You guys going to get out your notepad, remember? Does everybody have a way to write, though? Piece of paper. Yeah? Okay. So, because I was just going to get some. Oh, wait. There's somewhere here. Is that somewhere?
I don't
know. Sorry guys, I gotta find it first. They gave it to me. Well, you can probably do all three. Yeah. Just be careful when you're here. It'll work. Just. I need to find. sorry guys, I need to find this first. Okay, there we go, there we go. Okay! So here's the deal, okay?
Here's the deal, okay?
So, in order to kind of go through the Pro Design Technology Program at Parsons, you have to demonstrate the fact that you know how to do very, very, very basic code. Because the idea of the program is, because otherwise you can just go to design school. Now, you don't need to come to design technology, right? So basically, we've been hiding this back function this whole time. But actually, code is the only thing that matters in this whole curriculum. It's an important thing. It's one of the more important things in the curriculum because you're going to go on to take these classes, and they all rely on the fact that you kind of know processing. You know, because actually, if you know this stuff, if statements, for loops, data structures, basic, like not classes, but you know, that means you have demonstrated enough ability to go out, be there, and do a front end developer or a design researcher. You know, like those are the basic skills that you need. So what we decided to help you guys with is have a pop quiz. Ta-da! And so what you're going to do, okay? So first of all, it's okay, just a quiz. It's not, well, it is graded actually. So I'm going to give you your pairing for today, and your pair is going to grade your quiz, okay? So first of all, everybody has to use a pen, okay? So you gotta put your name on this piece of paper on top, okay? Your name, and then you're gonna start numbering. I'll tell you when to start numbering, okay? But when you finish with it, you're gonna pass it to your partner, which I'll tell you right now who your partner is, okay? So you better hope to go. No, I'm just kidding. It doesn't matter who your partner is. Your partner is just gonna grade what is on the paper, okay? Hey, it's not a class without pop quiz, isn't it? So pairing algorithm, here we go. Drum roll. So here's the pairing for today. Elena, Ashley.
Oh, okay. Wait, that's the same
thing. Huh? No, just luck. Brandy's with John. You don't have to move right now. I'm just telling you who to give your paper to. Okay? Fifi with Ronnie. JC with Zina. If you guys have some inside view already worked out, this is now the time to use it. Zihan with Ming right next to each other. No Chinese mafia, okay? And no secret handshakes, okay? You gotta correct yourselves, each other. Yeah, with Elisa. Okay, so pretty close to each other, actually. Okay, so here's the quiz. No, actually, but seriously, it's just something for you to kind of demonstrate that you know stuff. And if you do really well in it, you'll be like super happy because you'll be like, hey, I know all about coding. You know?
I know all about coding.
And if you don't, it's fine. Like, if you don't, you're like, nice, I got through this class without knowing shit. Yeah, yeah. So either way. So, let me see if I can, you guys can see this. Okay, so here's the first two problems. I'm gonna just actually, I can make two. How do you do this again? New window, right? Anybody know how to make a new? There you go. There you go. Yeah, you can start. If you see the end, you can start. Yeah. Exactly.
Oh my god, there are four questions.
I mean, you guys know me. I don't think I'm entrepreneurial enough to come into this kind of stuff. So, I'm sorry.
Can you just make the font bigger?
You want to make it bigger?
Yeah, I can come up.
Yeah, if you can't see it, just come up closer. Because, yeah. I want to make it 13. Is that visible?
Yeah.
Yeah? More?
Is there anything more?
There is, but it's the same thing. It's just L-stiff.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Oh, you know what? Here, I'll just put number 2 here, number 1 there. Okay? So, give me a second. Oh, shit. Yeah, see, it's just else until the very end. I'll just do this. This allows you to see 1 and 2, right? Okay, so I'll give you 5 minutes for 1 and 2, and then we move on to 3 and 4.
Is that
a
trick question?
I have no comment.
Oh, my God.
So I'm just going to set a timer.